filed an appeal at the Supreme Court in an attempt to overturn the decision of the appeals court that acquitted and discharged Kesela Tofosing, the minority leader, and Richard Jakpa in the ambulance procurement trial. We'll have details for you pretty shortly and bring you a bit more detail. But for now, though, what has the finance minister been saying?
Well, Evans, he says that he's quite worried about the Industries and Manufacturers Association, the activities. He has sent a warning to manufacturers and industries, accusing them of contributing to the depreciation of the cedi. The local currency has suffered a significant fall against major foreign currencies in recent time, Evans, reaching as high as 15 cedis, 59 pesos to the dollar. At an engagement with manufacturers today, the finance minister said the hoarding of dollars and the dollarization of the economy have contributed significantly to the fall of the cedi.
There are some companies, they manufacture, they sell, and they accept cash, physical cash, from their sales. And when they have done that, they don't keep the cash in the banks. They go and convert it into US dollars and keep the dollars. That contributes to the forex problem you are talking about, Humphrey. We need to check that. And I have reports upon reports of some of the companies that are doing that. The day we start pursuing them, Humphrey is going to organize a press conference and say, you are harassing my members. You are harassing my members. One manufacturing company, a processing, oil processing company, went and placed $50 million in a bank and yet did not even have a third of that in cedis to back the $50 million. They were demanded. And that alone took the depreciation of the cedi by 2 cedi points. When it was 13 cedis to the dollar, it went up to about 15 cedis to the dollar because of $50 million placed in one bank, which was not backed by the cedi equivalent. So you want to buy dollars, 50 million, yet you don't have 50 million worth of cedis, $50 million equivalent in cedis to buy the dollar. Your bank account doesn't have that much money. And it was hanging in the market, $50 billion. And what it meant was that the dollar was in shortage by about $40 million because other banks had also put in their demand. Now, where the demand for dollar exceeds the supply of dollar, what do you expect to happen to the price of dollar? In which case the cedi, it will depreciate. So I'm appealing to you also to talk to your members to support the efforts of government.
Minister there, Mohammed Amin Adam. Well, he says industry must support government's effort to transform the economy and avert the possibility of any civil action in Ghana.
Just as we are talking about manufacturing, I was in Nigeria 3 days ago. I got down at the airport. I could not move into the city because of demonstrations. A month before, it was in Nairobi. This week, it is happening in Nigeria. And when it happens, they are ruthless. Protesters are ruthless, especially when you have criminals amongst them. They are looking for people like you in your homes, in your business places, attacking and stealing things. And so when people are crying and crying, no one is safe. The politicians are not safe. You, the industrialists, are not safe. So we have a responsibility to work together, to create an environment that will bring the confidence of our people in the economy, because we are all agents of the economy.
And Seth Chumakwabwa is the CEO of the Association of Ghana Industries. He joins me live right now via phone. Professor John Gachi is the Dean of the UCC School of Business and Economics. Also joins me on phone too. Seth, thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Do you accept the challenge you heard today from the finance minister?
Oh yes, we were there. It was at our request. It was an invitation to him to engage us on various issues concerning industry, and he made this admonition. But then we also made points of interest, concerns we have, and also made good proposals as to how we can all help improve the economic stability that will yield to the benefit of all. So the admonition he's making, yes, we accept it in good faith that we should all contribute to make the currency stable. And the way industry help is the fact that we are producers and we are exporters. So if you produce, you reduce imports that is coming in to put pressure on your city for people to go and import similar products. And if you export, it brings in revenue. So in so many respects, industry helps to stabilize the city by ensuring that it brings in resources by way of foreign exchange. The other aspect of the people buying or selling and then taking cash and using it to buy foreign exchange and all that, Yes, we will have to look at it.
Yeah, because it suggests very directly to you that some of your members are culpable in the alarming depreciation we've seen in recent times. You accept that?
Well, that is a bit debatable. He himself didn't say it is the cause of the depreciation. He was giving several reasons which could account for it, and he cited this as one of the possible examples that could also cause depreciation. And he gave a classic case of somebody who did something untoward. That one, it is difficult for me to say we accept that, because I don't think it is something that is cross-cutting. It's not a universal thing that all companies or manufacturers are doing.
I mean, Chumaka, but let me ask you honestly. Your members are producing, you're selling and receiving CDs. You're saying your members are not finding the dollar as a very safe store of value, taking the dollar, taking the CDs you get after you sell what you produce to get the dollar and store it. You're not doing that.
So you see, let me tell you how business operates. No business person will lock up its funds in foreign currency simply because he just wants to save money in foreign currency. You need the money to run. It runs like water or blood. It's flowing up and down. So when you have sold your goods and you have gotten sales, the next time you are using it to pay your workers, you are paying your bills, you are paying your electricity, you are buying the next raw material, the savings you make is out of the percentage. It's a small percentage that you can save for cushioning.
But you import, don't you?
Funds in that. It's only when you need a foreign currency to be able to import your raw materials. And most of the processors also need foreign currency because they import raw materials. So if you are projecting that in the next 3 months or so, I will need this quantum of money to be able to do it, the first thing you do is to contact your bank. Your bank should arrange it for you. If there is difficulty in arranging it, that's where if you have some currency, you want to keep it so that when you need it, you have it available. But otherwise, why would you hold money for a whole year? No business person would do that. So I think that it is a question of the demand and supply situation, which has to be resolved. But I wouldn't say that is the cause of the inflation, of the depreciation. The classic example he cited, that one can be looked at separately, because in that case, it's something untoward. And we are not aware of it, and he didn't mention the company's name. I'm not in any way doubting it. But if anybody does anything that is contrary to the law, regardless of where it's coming from, and I don't think the Association of Ghana Industries would support any such move, because otherwise you are sabotaging the whole economy. We would never support it. And indeed, if this comes to our notice, we would take the necessary action against that member.
Professor,
that is an outlier which cannot really, as of now, be fully supported. So we wouldn't say that is what our members are doing.
Let me bring in Professor Gachi. Prof, you heard the finance minister. Is that an accurate diagnosis of the problem?
I'm not sure, but I, however, agree with him that some business people will engage in storing their money in dollar if expectation of depreciation is uncertain. And they do that because they want to gauge against or hedge against their next import into the country. And that may not necessarily be the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem may be those who are engaged in some nefarious activities. And those ones, the government should not portray it to be anemic. The government should be active and deal with those people. When that is done, I think that will be sanity. I do not think that the entire thing should be blamed on.
Prof, I'm grateful that you joined us with your thoughts on this. Professor John Gachi, there's a Dean of the UCC School of Business and Economist, also Seth Chuma Kwabwa, CEO of the Association of Ghana Industries. And let's stay with the Finance Minister a while longer, shall we? And for Steve, the Finance Minister has been talking about plans that the Finance Ministry is currently pursuing, including a proposal to Cabinet that will impose a debt ceiling. Tell us more.
Yes, he says that the country's debt now stands at 742 billion cedis, which is 70.6% of our GDP. But the finance ministry is planning to tackle it by reactivating sinking funds to manage debt repayments while proposing a debt ceiling to control how much government can borrow. Deputy Finance Minister in charge of revenue shared details with my colleague Raymond Akwa.
There are proposals to amend our PFM. And part of it, whilst I don't want to preempt anything, just for you to see that we are doing something. Mm-hmm. And also to assure Ghanaians that the willingness of this team with our minister to get things right is there. And I'm sure you can see it glaring in the eyes. One of the first things is that we want to have a debt ceiling.
Mm.
Yes, we want to have a debt ceiling. So as part of fiscal rules, we want to have, in fact, minister even intended, signaled in the mid-year budget, to restore the 5% fiscal rule.
Do you have a debt-to-GDP percentage in mind?
Not really, but you know, both IMF, World Bank usually predicts a sustainable debt-to-GDP of 55%.
Okay.
Which is the direction we currently are working on. And in fact, from where we are, with the DDEP, we had about 28% saved. We had the bilaterals giving us a percentage. We had the Eurobonds. And once we finish everything together with the commercials, we will definitely come to that 55% in no time. So the rate of debt accumulation reducing, it gives us a greater opportunity to actually achieve that and possibly maintain it, if at all, not to reduce it. We are bent to do anything possible to make sure that we don't go above that 55. But in terms of the ceiling, again, I can't preempt with the content of the document, but the global best practice, acceptable practice, which the IMF and all the key financial institutions believe is sustainable, is the 55% debt to GDP.
I want to bring in Associate Professor at the University of Ghana Business School, Dr. Patrick Asumin. Doc, this debt ceiling proposal that we are now expecting the finance ministry to place before cabinet, is this a solution to our debt crisis?
Good evening and good evening to listeners. I think, to think that just imposing a debt ceiling will be a solution to a long-term public finances problem is not the case. But it can go a long way to help. But you know, a lot of details are required. So it's not clear whether we are imposing a deficit ceiling or a natural debt ceiling. And you have to think about, you know, whether it's a quantum amount or it's a percentage of GDP. And even if it's a quantum amount, is it going to be in cedis or in dollars? And because, mind you, if you put a debt amount in cedis, even if the nominal debt is the same and the currency loses value, you easily reach the target without any discretionary policy by the government. So there are a lot of details to think through. And then the question will be, if you put such a debt ceiling in place, how is it going to be enforced? What happens if it's violated? Because don't forget that we've had different aspects of policy ceilings, not necessarily debt. We've had the Bank of Ghana Act and the breaching a limit on total quantity of borrowing that or lending a commitment to the government breach a few times and nothing has happened. So it's a series of things that are required and a series of institutional reforms regarding how we spend public money and some transparency measures and expenditure controls. So it's a whole architecture about the fiscal governance that is required, but definitely putting a debt ceiling will go a long way. It will help in some way.
And the timing, though, is an issue, is it not? I mean, this is 4 months at the end of the term, but also we're expecting a budget that will be read in November. We already are under IMF program that has some sort of a ceiling already in there. Is the timing right?
I don't know if the timing is right, but you get the sense that if you are going to get such a policy measure through, probably now is the most likely time you get it through. Don't forget, we are in such a serious crisis, and a crisis like this is an opportunity to actually make the needed reforms. So, yeah, and you know, at this point, the IMF is really pushing for a lot of institutional changes. It's not just the fiscal responsibility and then the fiscal council that is being discussed, but they're also trying to make a lot of changes to even the Bank of Ghana Act. I mean, I think there are legitimate questions to be raised whether, you know, that is the approach we should go, whether the people of Ghana should own more of the process than, you know, being pushed by the IMF. I think those are legitimate questions to ask. But if anything, I think it's definitely a good discussion for us to have. And it's a very good time because of the crisis that we are going through and the governance reforms that we are going through as part of the IMF program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Patrick Assuming. He's Associate Professor at the University of Ghana Business School.
You're still listening to Newsline. Still to come, NPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia, I'm confident of stabilizing the city if elected president. But how is he going to do that? We'll give you details.
Locally and support gold for oil and gold for reserve program for a stable currency. I intend to reduce the withholding tax from 1.5% currently to 1% next year.
Details of that and more right after George is done. There is a lot of focus on the economy, even on the campaign trail. Yeah. The finance minister has been talking, and you have even more. And I think rightly so.
And that's why even on PM Express Business Edition tonight, you'll be talking still about the economy, industries, dollarization, and the efforts to try and reduce the cost of credit. And how is that impacting on businesses and industries as well, even? Well, to other stories, expecting business on Newsnight, International Court to give ruling on almost $400 million tax charge against Talu Oil by the Ghana Revenue Authority in November this year. And SNIT raises concerns about delays in payment of contributions for public sector workers and its impact on the scheme. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Sintes Tanks and Pepsodent, Hebal and Chaco.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209 or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com. You
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Chuboy! Yes. We have a new leader in town, Obiarentie Amafo. Madam was Sibibri. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
You could be the luckiest. You could be the luckiest.
Go.
The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers. The luckiest.
You could be the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, International Court here in the almost $400 million tax charge against Talu Oil, but the Ghana Revenue Authority is expected to give its ruling in November this year. Now, that's according to Talu Oil, which took the case to the court in London. There is more in this report.
The court in London is looking at coming with its judgment on this issue after hearing all the parties involved in this case. Talu Oil took this to the International Court after raising concerns about the almost $400 million tax charge. The Ghana Revenue Authority claims it took this action after reviewing Talu's operations since 2021 and realized this amount of money is due to be paid to the state. The authority insists that it stands by this assessment and that Talu Oil should be paying this money to the government of Ghana. But Talu, on the other hand, is contesting this assessment. Many will be looking forward to the outcome of this case because of its impact on the operations of Talu Oil. The expected ruling is coming at a time that Talu Oil's profit before tax for the Ghana business went up significantly to hit $411 million and paid a tax of $144 million. Talu is not the only company that the Ghana Revenue Authority is going after. It insists that there are lots more multinationals in the oil space that have failed to pay taxes due to the state.
That is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, Talu Oil is optimistic that the case will go their way, insisting it doesn't owe the taxes put out by the Ghana Revenue Authority. Let's hear from Richard Miller, Chief Finance Officer of Talu Oil, speaking to investors across the world from their base in London.
Yes, so there is a range of possible outcomes. Obviously, the one that we expect is that we'll be successful and nothing will be owed. And then if there is a result where it rules against us, I suppose there's two branches from that. One is that the panel will say we're unsuccessful and rule on a number. That number could be less than the 320, which has originally been claimed, or they could then say that they find against us, but they can't rule on a number, which will then push us into the Ghana court process. But I think, as we previously stated, if we're unsuccessful, we have a number of avenues to continue to explore within the Ghana court process, where we'll continue to dispute this claim.
Richard Miller is Chief Finance Officer at Talu Oil, speaking to investors across the world from their base in London. Now, State Pension Trust SNIT is raising concerns about delays in payment of contributions of public sector workers. The trust argues that since government is the largest employer, the development is not good for the scheme going forward. Director General of the trust, Kofi Osafumafu, also announced the organization's commitment to improving the performances of its hotels and enhancing stakeholder benefit. He said this at the 2024 Operations and Benefit Conference held in Elimina. The boss has also been talking about efforts to bring on board the informal sector workers.
proposition that SNIT is offering in our view is much better than what is out there, certainly in our view. And we think that we need to bring in everyone that we can for them to benefit from the SNIT scheme. If we are talking to people in the informal sector and there is adverse press or adverse media commentary, that doesn't help with the informal sector drive. So yes, we are encountering some difficulties, but it's not insurmountable. And indeed, this engagement is all part of it. And what we really want to highlight is that we shouldn't lose track of what SNIT is about.
Director General of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, Kofi Osafo Mafo. Now, the Secretary General of the African Continental Free Trade Area, Wonkele Mane, has expressed concerns about the slow growth of industry sector across the sub-region. According to him, this is affecting the intra-Africa trade activities. Now, speaking at the 2024 Ghana Economic Forum, Mane urged African leaders to increase investment in the sector of various economies to boost trade.
Africa's industrial capacity must improve. We must trade more in value-added production, and we must consume what we produce and produce what we consume. In 2019, the continent of Africa imported $16.5 billion worth of pharmaceutical products. We imported these pharmaceutical products from other parts of the world, when in fact the capability to produce these pharmaceutical products, which are largely generic drugs, does exist here on the African continent.
Wamkele Mane is the Secretary General of the African Continental Free Trade Area. Now, Fidelity Bank is set to award 15 entrepreneurs under its bootcamp for green tech entrepreneurs in the agricultural sector with 1 million Ghana cedis. According to the head of partnership and sustainability at Fidelity Bank, Naya Friofori-Kore, support is to help these agroic entrepreneurs to scale up and grow their businesses to contribute to national development.
As a bank, one of our key areas is providing solutions to the problems nationwide, and we see that the agri-tech sector needs some stimulation and some support. Now, as you already know, we have a project called Fidelity Young Entrepreneurs Fund, and that fund really supports entrepreneurs by providing them with financial support and mentoring. But we decided that we would carve out some support specifically for agriculture. So that's why we decided to have this 1 million grant, which will be shared with 15 successful entrepreneurs by the end of the challenge.
And that is the head of partnerships, sustainability at Fidelity Bank Ghana, Nanaya Friofori-Kore. And even tonight on Business Express PM Express Edition, we're engaging the chief executive of the Association of Ghana Industries, Chuma Kwabua, and with other players, as well as you look at the recovery of Ghana's economy and how it's affecting other critical sectors. It's 9 p.m. on Joy News and all our social media platforms.
Thank you very, very much, George. So, live your news tonight is on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Evans Mensah, and I'm here with Faustina Saffo. We can do some sports now, and Cranton is here with the details.
The news is about the Ghana's relay team, the 4x100 relay team captain, Joe Paul. That's Joseph Paul Amor. He's asked Ghanaians to keep faith with the team despite their disqualification from the Paris Olympics heats earlier today. Ghana initially finished 7th in the 4x100 men's heats before later being disqualified for a changeover violation. Joseph Paul Amor spoke to Fentu Tahiru Fentu after the race.
Yeah, we have a really, really high chance of, you know, performing well at upcoming competitions. It's a relay, I always say it's not about how fast the team is, it's about how smooth the baton moves around. Obviously today, it just justified what I've been saying the whole time. So we have a really good team moving forward. I think we'll do really well, but we just have to make sure that our passing is cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. So yeah, hopefully we get like clean passes next time. Yeah.
That was Ghana's 4x100 meter relay captain, Joseph Paul Amor. And at the Olympics, Africa just won their first ever Olympic gold medal in the men's 200 meters as Lechile Tebogo upset Noah Lyles to win the 200 meter men's gold medal. Back to you, Evans.
Thank you very much. So live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. And a few hours back, the Attorney General made good his vow and his promise to appeal against that decision rendered by the appeals court that acquitted and discharged the minority leader, Dr. Kesi Latofosing and Richard Jagba in the ambulance procurement trial. He has indeed filed that particular appeal at the Supreme Court. And my colleague, Richard Kodonyaku, who heads the legal affairs desk, is on the line with me with details of the documents that we have procured now from the court. What are the grounds of appeal, Richard?
Well, so Evans, the Court of Appeal, according to the AG, misdirected itself in applying the fundamental principles regarding the standard of proof required in determining whether a case has been made for the accused person to answer. And the next line of appeal, how the decision of the Court of Appeal to hold the establishment of letters of credit did not constitute payment under the contract, they say is contrary to the clear evidence in the case and is untenable. The decision of the court that the Ministry of Health caused financial loss to the state and not Dr. Kesi Latofosing authorizing the establishment of the letters of credit constituted a fundamental error. Now, the fourth ground is that the Court of Appeal also failed to appreciate and directly apply to the evidence the essential ingredients of the offenses with which Dr. Fosun and Richard Jagba were charged. The AG further contends that the court's ruling that the authorization for the letters of credit to be issued was regular and that Dr. Atufosun acted in his official capacity was also fraught with grave errors and occasioned a substantial miscarriage of justice. That the court's decision that the claim by the prosecution of lack of parliamentary approval for the transaction was an afterthought is fraught with errors unfair to the prosecution. The court was also wrong in holding that the trial judge amended the charge sheet for the prosecution. And their last ground of appeal is that the Court of Appeal heard when it concluded that there was no link or nexus between the respondent and the offence. So, Evan, that is the ground of appeal.
And thank you very much, Richard. And we'll follow this very closely, Richard, and the team will be all over this once the Supreme Court fixes a date for it.
Well, Evans, there is pressure on government tonight to redevelop the 80-acre reclaimed land at Agbogbloshie here in Accra, where we know that the former Agbogbloshie onion market was cleared 3 years ago in a major demolition exercise to pave way for a modern health facility and the Agenda 101 initiative. However, Evans, the ambitious plan for that 80-acre reclaimed land appears to have stalled. The former president of the Ghana Institute of Planners and a CDD fellow, Dr. Stephen Urenji, says that government must immediately develop the land. We'll hear from him shortly. First, here's my colleague Sweetie Agbochi. She visited the site and filed this report.
50% 4% to 20%. We are determining this to end year inflation with an inflation rate 15%. Willing, God willing, dollars. If this particular party in government here, we are further even determined to bring to influence inflation this year. The next,
the minority impact cost demand element
from 54% to 22%. And we are determined to end this year with an inflation rate of 15%. God willing, inshallah, if this party continues in government next year, we are even further determined to bring inflation to a single digit inflation next year. 50% 4% to 20%.
Sincere apologies for that challenge with that particular incident. That's not the incident I wanted to play you, that Agbogbloshie report. But we've also been hearing today from Dr. Stephen Urenji, who's warning that this delay in fixing the original plan and implementing it with the Agenda 111 infrastructure on that piece of land is one that the government must deal with immediately.
One thing about resettlement, one major rule is that if you are not ready to do the resettlement, don't move the people. Otherwise, you create a lot of inconveniences to them. This rule was not taken and the people were moved. It should have been done timelessly. After moving them, you don't wait for this number of years. And the land is a very prime one. Where it's located is a very prime land in the city of Accra, Agbogbloshie for that matter. And for that matter, I will implore government to quickly revisit it and put the structures on. Because if you don't take care, some illegal people will just move back and settle on the land.
And that's the CDD fellow there, Mr. Rinchi, on the Agbogbloshie situation. And my colleague has been there to look at the situation where the Agbogbloshie onion market, which used to be a very important place for most people who invested quite a bit in that particular area. The government had said that they were going to be investing quite a bit in that particular area. I want to bring in Titus Globa as the Greater Accra Regional Minister as we bring back that particular report, just establishing what has happened there. Mr. Globa, I'm grateful for your time here on Newsnight. The area in question, though, the plan was, from what we understand, to build an Agenda 111 facility there. Where are we in implementing that?
Good evening, my name is Titus Glover, and not Globe.
Oh, Titus Glover, of course. What's the plan? Where are we in implementing the original plan?
Thank you so much, and good evening to your listeners. As we speak now, the program of Agenda 111 was not taken off. When I took over and handed over notes, it stated that part of the land will be used for that purpose. But as we speak now, I've not had any commitment from the Agenda 111 Secretariat. I've been told that some people have been dumping refuse and using the place for all kinds of things. So I will mobilize my team, hopefully next week, to go and assess what is happening at the place and bring them into normalcy. That's all I can say about the Agbogbloshie land.
When we visited the place, we found that some of the unscrupulous individuals who originally we had invested in, removed them away, drug dealers, etc., were back. And we're talking very openly about it. But that then also remains a security issue that needs to be looked into. Any plan for that?
That is why I'm saying that no cause for alarm. Hopefully next week we'll move into full gear and clear the people from there. What is important is we need to put up a gate at the entrance, which has not been provided. I'm told that there was a contractor that was given that contract to do the fencing. Unfortunately, he could not finish with the gates. So we'd have to look for money and get it to make it impossible for people to enter and all that. But I can assure you that, God willing, next week, we'll mobilize and go to the site. Apart from that, some of the scrap dealers, I'm told, have also moved. And they are dotted around the Odol on the Bayman stretch towards Abusokan. They are operating around those areas. So if they are listening to me, I will pray to them to leave the place, because we'll make sure we'll clear them out from the roadside and wherever they are. They were asked to move into Agenda. For reasons why they will not be able to go, I cannot tell. Provisions were made for them to settle in Ajinkotoku. You cannot turn the whole place into an inferno where they are burning copper wires and doing all kinds of things. And the whole atmosphere around Abusokan and Agbogbloshie is full of smoke. It is not good for our health. So those crab dealers squatting around those places will move out, because next week will be there. As I speak to you tomorrow, when you go to Dodowa Forest, it's gone. Evans, the ancient Dodowa Forest and Katamanso Pinkwai Forest are all gone. People have descended into the forest and depleted it. They've sold it. Tomorrow morning, I'm leading the RESEC members to go and do plant trees into the Dodowa Forest, because we've declared that place a security zone. So whoever bought that Dodowa Forest land, go and collect your money. Because that land is not for those who sold the land for you. I have all my documentation that says that land is a Shai land. It's nobody land than the people of Shai. And it's a reserve. It's a forest reserve for Dodowa. So tomorrow morning, I'm leading the RESEC team to go and plant trees to regain the forest back.
Titus Glover, thank you very much.
Most grateful, Evans.
And that's the Greater Accra Regional Minister there. So live here on News 90, on Joy 99.7 FM. I want to take you onto the campaign trail now, where we're hearing from the Vice President, who has been speaking today about transforming the economy, but also fixing the challenge that we've seen with the city. He has a proposal today to fix this. And we'll get into that pretty shortly here on News 9. But I also want to hear from you tonight, 055-1111-996.
Vice President and flag bearer of the governing MPP, Mahmoud Oubamia, has committed to stabilizing the city by reducing the export levy on gold export from 1.5% to 1%. Now, according to him, Evans, this will help increase gold production and support the Gold for Oil and Gold for Reserves program. He has also pledged to work closely with small and large-scale miners on the best strategy to discourage gold smuggling in Ghana. Dr. Oubamia said this at the commissioning of Royal Gold Refinery here in Accra.
Locally, and support Gold for Oil and Gold for Reserve program for a stable currency. I intend to reduce the withholding tax from 1.5% currently to 1% next year. God willing, under my precedence. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, to be able to obtain maximum value for the products from this refinery, it is necessary to obtain the requisite international certifications such as the LDMA, Good Delivery Bar Certification. Achieving LDMA Good Delivery Bar Certification is crucial. This requires refining gold for at least 3 years and establishing an annual production of no less than 10 tons of gold. Also,
and that there is the flag bearer of the governing New Patriotic Party to the NDC now. And the NDC is to launch a tailor-made manifesto for the youth of this country. The manifesto will shed light on the party's plan to address youth unemployment, education reform and entrepreneurship initiatives aimed at empowering young people across Ghana. Now, John Mahama's vice presidential candidate, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Ejimane, has also been urging residents in the central region to vote for the NDC as they have the best plan to bring the economy back on track.
Politics in your day, or man, or Bokun in him. Yem Managana, you want the money P. Yetu. In the map you want to say, Bia, into a day, and see any.
Politics is not about insults. It's about bringing development, and that is what we in the NDC stand for. There are a lot of essential amenities we should have as a nation so that citizens can enjoy. But you cannot attest to the fact that we don't have them. There's so much hardship in the economy. The taxes are so high, and going for loans has even become almost impossible. I therefore urge you to vote wisely in the December elections. We deserve better than this. That is why we are advocating for a 24-hour economy. Even if you don't understand, you will enjoy the benefits of that policy. So vote for the NDC.
It's a 24-hour economy. It's been more better what to do in the form now. Yes, one sasa on yezin. Obia ambra.
And as you know, this is your election headquarters and it's brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity. SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants and AICP and SIMA together, the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. A few of your messages before
yes,
we go.
Yes, coming through all the way from Kumasi. Sami says, why is Godfrey Dame so passionate about Atu Forcing and Richard Jagba's trial than any other crime-related cases committed by certain individuals against the nation? That's a question he's asking. Also from Boku, he says the matter of the Airbus scandal is dead, and this has positioned the NPP million miles away from breaking the eight, as it was expected to be their major campaign message against the incoming president, John Dramani Mahama.
And that's it for News Night tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening. My name is Evans Mensah.
I am Faustina Savo.